Now, White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
So welcome into White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and we have you for the next 2 hours of your afternoon. So glad you could spend a little time with us. We got a good show planned for you, and more than usual, we've got stuff to give to you. More than usual stuff to give. Not only are we, you know, jam-packed with a bunch of stats and fun facts about what the White Sox have been up to over the last week or so of baseball, and believe me, there are a lot of fun facts and good stats surrounding the White Sox over the last week or so, and more so than usual, mostly because of, and if you're listening to the show, you're probably aware of it, they beat up the Tigers 17-7 the other night. They put up 25 hits, and from that one game, you know, a lot of guys came out with streaks, hot streaks coming out of that ball game, and have since continued some. A 3-2 loss last night, though Carson Fulmer pitched well, and really overall, there are a number of young and promising White Sox players in a mix with a couple of veterans who have been playing really well here down the stretch in September. We got 2 weeks left of baseball, and we're going to talk about what's coming up in those next 2 weeks and the week that was, of course, with you. Here's what we have planned for the show this afternoon. We are going to talk with Carson Fulmer, who started last night's game, took a no decision, but did have a quality start, his second straight quality start. Hoping Carson will call in. He's got to finish some, you know, day after start activities. So I'm sure the guy runs like, you know, 75 miles or something like that after his start. He's got to get all the lactic acid out and get himself all refreshed and ready to roll. Hoping to talk to him right about 3 o'clock or so. So you can set your watches to that. Carson Fulmer going to call into the show. We will also talk with Nick Schaefer of BP Southside. We haven't talked to Nick yet this season. We talked to his buddy Colin Whitchurch quite a bit. And, of course, we stole Kat Garcia from BP Southside. She writes for our website now, WLS AM. So it's just we're tapping into the community of White Sox fans out there throughout the intranets and on Twitter as well. Nick's going to join us at 3:35 here on the show. Talk a bit about him, about his latest. He wrote a little on Jose Abreu and exactly how and why, well, not so much why, but how he fits into and may kind of change the way the future of this franchise may play out. I think watching Jose, as much as it's been fun to watch some of the young hitters like Yoan Moncada and Tim Anderson coming on since August 1st, my goodness, has he done a solid job at the plate over the last month and a half of baseball. It's been incredible at times to watch Jose Abreu. Guy, he had a three-streak game where he just could not make an out. A couple of home runs, hits for the cycle, nearly hits for the cycle. 2 days later, was just shy by a home. I mean, the whole thing was just pretty spectacular to watch, and that's kind of spawned some thoughts, I think, about Jose. Avi Garcia, too, riding a seven-game hit streak at this point. Really keeping things up. Sorry, 8-game hit streak. Had the infield hit last night and a single two. We'll talk a bit about Avi's season. Ed and DJ were talking some about Avi on the broadcast last night, and it got me thinking about the different ways that he's been valuable to the Sox and kind of the different things that he's fought through to mean as much to the White Sox this season as he has. It's been kind of a fun season, although the results haven't been, obviously, the kind of results that get you toward a postseason. But I think in just about every facet of the roster and of some of the minor leagues, and we'll kind of wrap up the Kannapolis season as well. They took a bow out to the Greenville Drive. Congratulations to them for making the championship round in the South Atlantic League. Kannapolis is done for the year. Great Fall Voyagers, the rookie league, still going. They played Friday night, I think. So we'll catch up with them and let you know how they're doing in their quest for a championship as well. But those are a lot of the things we've got planned. Not to mention, and here's the stuff that we've got for you here on the show. I happen to get myself 3 different Tim Raines starting lineup figurines. These are the ones that were the giveaway about 2 weeks ago. I have a trio of them, and I just don't have enough shelf space for all 3. So what I'd like to do is give it out to a few White Sox fans who are perhaps big-time Tim Raines fans. I don't know how you personally, I don't know how you could be a White Sox fan and not be a big Tim Raines fan. The guy's an HOFer. I mean, the guy's as good as they get. So we'll do that a little bit later on in the show. And the way we're going to give it away is this. We'll give you the phone number, tell you to call in. I'm going to ask you some things about Tim Raines' career. You know, some numbers things, some statistics things, some, you know, trivia type stuff. You get the right answer, or at points we're going to give you a threshold of an answer. You know, if you're within five, something like that, we'll give it away to you. But that's what we're going to do. So if you're driving around or perhaps stopping off for lunch and then getting back into the car, and then you're going to give us a ring and try and win a Tim Raines starting lineup figurine, maybe check in on Tim Raines' baseball reference page. Maybe get yourself reacquainted with one of the best leadoff hitters in the history of the game. And just from that standpoint, perhaps you've got a better chance of winning the Tim Raines starting lineup figurine. That's not it, though. We've got more stuff for you this afternoon. We are two times. Can we do it more than twice, guys? Looking at Adam and Tyler. Yeah, I think we can do it more than twice. I think we can maybe three times this show give away a chance to win tickets to our Hot Seat with Han event coming up on the 20th. That is, and I'll explain it a couple more times since we're running out. It's a sit-down with Rick Han. It's you get to come by the WLS stations. I will personally buy you a soda from the WLS vending machine. You get to sit down, hang out, and I'm going to talk with Rick Han. We're going to talk about the organization. We're going to talk about the future. We're going to talk about his past in baseball some too. And I think it's going to be a really cool conversation. I'm very excited for it. That's the 20th at 1 o'clock. So if your calendar is free or if you can make it free, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets so that you and another significant Sox fan can come by and join us for an hour that afternoon on September 20th. That's coming up in just a couple of days. Sox fans, though, you can celebrate Hispanic Heritage Night on September 22nd. That's presented by Modelo Especial. There'll be Latin music and dancing, special activities for kids, an on-field parade, and post-game fireworks. Modelo Especial, good guys wear black and drink gold. Tickets start as low as $10. To purchase, visit whitesox.com/NHH. That's whitesox.com/NHH. So let's start here. Let's start about last night. And if you want to get in touch with the show, feel free. Our phone number, 312-591-8900. There are a number of players. There are a number of trends. There are a number of ball games that I think have gotten a couple of people, I think have gotten some White Sox fans kind of jacked about what's been going on here over the last month or so, and about how clear it seems part of this future of the franchise might be. I want to know what's got you, you know, as pumped up as anything else here, middle of September, as we wrap up the 2017 season. I want to know what kind of, if there are turnarounds, if there are trends, what's got you going the most. I have my one thing, and I'll give you that probably when we come back from the break here. I have one thing that's maybe more than anything kind of got me lifting an eyebrow and thinking, okay, this is, you know, given the way things began, this is about as good as you could possibly have asked, all things considered. Perhaps that gives it away some, but there's a certain ball player who I think with the last month or so has really kind of lifted the eyebrow. You can shoot us a note on Twitter too. At C1 McKnight is the Twitter handle, C1 McKnight. That way, actually, if you follow, I tweeted out a picture of one of the Tim Raines starting lineup figurines that we're going to be giving away at points during the show this afternoon. So if you're curious, if you want to check the merchandise, you can go there on Twitter, check the photo, and see exactly what it is that you can try and win a little bit later on this afternoon. So Carson Fulmer coming up right around 3 o'clock or so. We'll talk with Nick Schaefer of BP Southside 2 coming back. I have one thing that's more than perhaps anything else over the last 6 weeks or so got me thinking a little bit differently about the White Sox and about this long-term rebuild, about the commitment to the future that we've all kind of been watching take place over this entire season. I'll tell you what that is next. I want to know what yours is. 312-591-8900. I'm Connor McKnight. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Big John and Ramblin' Ray, that's Howell and Stevens, wishing you a terrific weekend. We're back bright and early Monday morning. We'll sort out all the maniacs and the mayhem beginning at 6, WLS AM 890.
SoxFest 2018 returns January 26th through January 28th at the Hilton Chicago. You'll score an autograph or photo with your favorite players, coaches, and White Sox greats. Plus, you can play games, win prizes, and shop for White Sox gear. It'll be a weekend of White Sox baseball you won't want to miss. Hotel packages are available now. Visit whitesox.com/SoxFest for tickets and more information. Man, you know, you get down to September, and granted, this is only my second September doing this job and hanging out with you on White Sox Weekly on Saturday afternoons, but you get into September, and then the White Sox start, you know, sending you the White Sox, the SoxFest reads, and you start to think, man, I wonder how much different. I wonder what kind of players, and I mean, it'll be all of them essentially. But you know, as you go through that weekend, and as we get to do as many shows as we get to do from SoxFest, which is just awesome. I mean, all the shows go down there, and we get to talk to all kinds of players, whether it's guys who have, you know, been in the leagues for a little while, or some of the rookies coming up. I remember who was it last season? We had a good long talk with Jake Pietrzyszka, and I think we learned. And granted, you know, this season, injury-wise for Jake, just had not gone health-wise the way he'd hoped, for sure. But just learning as much as we did then about the workings of a bullpen. I mean, we talked a lot about that kind of stuff. We talked a lot to Tim Anderson. Actually, that's right. It was Tim Anderson sat down on the David Hochberg show earlier in the morning. And that was a great conversation. I think Tim learned a lot about mortgages. I think David learned that he would absolutely not compete in any kind of race with Tim. And I think, you know, before the break, we were talking some about, you know, what is it over these last couple of weeks that you've seen that really has you, that might have you thinking differently about this rebuild, about where guys are at this point in the season. I think for a number of reasons, you know, you might want to shoot off and pick a couple of guys like Jose Abreu, who now has himself over the last couple of weeks in a conversation for a silver slugger in the American League. I mean, it's Smoke and Hosmer and probably Abreu. You can make arguments. There are probably some valid arguments elsewhere. But as far as I see it, as far as a lot of evaluations and measurements, my look at it, metrics, heck, Jose's played himself right there. He's tracking down toward 100 RBI for a fourth straight season. I know that, and I think over the last couple of weeks, he has been the guy that has impressed me most. And it's not who I thought I'd be paying the most attention to. Most is probably the wrong word, but he's not a guy who I thought I'd be paying as much attention to at this point in the season. And I don't mean that to be any kind of slight whatsoever. I really don't. Because what he's meant to the inner workings of this ball club, especially with some of the changes, some of the trades, some of the injuries that have happened that have kind of, you know, moved around the chemistry of that clubhouse some, only from a very clear standpoint of this guy isn't here anymore, therefore things do change. Jose has been very much a steadying force. He, by a lot of accounts, and from a lot of his English-speaking team, primarily English-speaking teammates too, he has really kind of come up as much more comfortable speaking in both languages, communicating in both languages with his teammates. And the play, regardless of language, the play speaks for itself. I mean, over the last handful of weeks, it was for a minute there, I was thinking, Jose might not hit the 30 home run thing. The start to the season for him was, it just didn't have the kind of pop. I mean, home run power that you'd kind of expect a guy to need to have if he's going to have a 30 home run campaign. Sure enough, he's turned things around, a couple of multi-homer games in his last, you know, week or two. Here are the numbers for Jose Abreu since August 1st. So this is covering 41 games. It covers the absolute bludgeoning he gave the San Francisco Giants at Guaranteed Rate Field last weekend. The numbers go like this: 339 average, a 382 on base, and a 648 slugging. OPS just over 1,000, 1.031. for the nerds, for the fellow nerds out there, the BABIP is a 361, which I think is, you know, somewhat interesting for a couple of different matters. And maybe we'll talk more with Nick Schaefer, of BP Southside coming up about 3:35 or so. His latest is a bit on Jose Abreu. He's got 12 home runs in 41 games. He's got 3 triples. He has more triples this season than in his entire career prior to this. 9 doubles, 8 walks, 3 intentional. The strikeouts are up, 32 strikeouts over the 165 at-bats. I guess if there's anything that you might look at Jose Abreu and say, okay, where, you know, at this age, given the position he plays, are there improvements for this man to make, despite the fact that the season line is 308, 360, 558? Can he get better than that? Well, I guess you could probably strike out a little bit less. It's asking, you know, it's not easy, not an easy thing to do. Jose also has 1 stolen base. And listen, that man can run a lot faster than sometimes he's able, or sometimes he shows you. But he gives you everything. He really does. And I think more than anything else, I've been really impressed over the last 6 weeks or so, since August, with Jose Abreu and his taking it to another notch. There are other players, other facets, other trends that perhaps have you as impressed as anything else. You know, the win-loss record isn't where this team hopes to be in a year, 2, 3 years, that kind of thing. But some of the performances individually have been something else to watch. Set out to the phone lines in Homer Glen. Is that right? Yeah, Homer Glen. It's Mike. What's up, Mike?
I'm doing good, Connor.
Good, man. What's on your mind?
I want to talk a little bit about Jose Abreu and Avi Garcia. Two guys are just having monster years. And it seems like they've done things together this year, because what I mean by that is they both lost weight. They both trimmed down quite a bit. And if you watch their swings, they both swing through the ball now and keep both hands on the bat through the whole swing. And I don't know who gave them that help or suggestion to do that, but to me, that has made the world of difference, because they both, last year and the year before, they would both swing and the hand would come off the bat. And this year, they both keep their hands on the bat through the whole swing, and it's just incredible a difference it's made.
Yeah, I think with Jose, or rather with Avi specifically, you know, he still swings at a lot of pitches. You know, I mean, that's just kind of the guy he is. But I think he's been able to swing at his pitches more often than not. I think he's been fooled a lot less. And I think, too, something that Ed and DJ were talking about a bit on the broadcast last night kind of piqued my interest. Avi Garcia, I don't know if you know this, Mike, but Avi Garcia has 26 infield hits this year. That is not at all an insignificant number. The guy busts it just about every time he can. And, you know, I understand that, you know, in this day and age, I think people making a lot out of, well, this guy gives you 100%, you know, making that argument can get a little bit tiresome to hear. But in this case, when it's an extra 26 hits that you might otherwise have, when the 26 hits on the infield has you tied for second in all of Major League Baseball, only Jose Altuve has more with 29, that matters some. And if you're chasing down, you know, a batting average title, or if you're trying to add, I mean, hell, the other night, he beats out an infield single and the White Sox pull in a run. Granted, it's not necessarily when they needed a run. It was, but it's something that had to happen in that game.
And look at the top two guys in infield hits. Those are the two guys going for a potential batting title.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You got to be able to reach in every way you can. And Mike, appreciate the phone call, my man. Thanks for coming in. You got to reach every way you can. And with Avi, too, given the way that, you know, granted, over the last couple of weeks, perhaps it's a little different. The power has popped up some. But generally speaking, he's not as, you know, given the slash line, given the profile, the offensive profile, he's not as powerful a hitter as you might imagine, because he does go the opposite way so much. Now, Grant, he can go the opposite way with a heck of a lot of authority, but because that's his general approach, that slugging percentage isn't perhaps where it would be for other right fielders, other, you know, elite tier right fielders. I'm talking offensively. Let's not deal with the defense at this point. But for Avi, if he's able to keep the middle of the field as an option for himself, he's able to keep that swing there. And Ricky talks about this. Ricky Renteria talks about this quite a bit. Give yourself more options. You give yourself the ability to reach on an infield hit. And Avi is not slow. He's got some wheels to him. He's a tremendously large guy. But somehow he's able to keep that kind of speed. And that's really been an asset to him this season. We'll talk a little bit more about Jose, about Avi, and a lot about some of the young guys, too. Yoan Moncada has really gotten things together since coming off the disabled list with the bone bruise in his shin. He has hit for power. He has hit for better average. The walks continue to stay pretty steady. The strikeouts are there and notable, and we'll talk a bit about that a bit later on. But seeing Yoan Moncada become more and more, can't think of a better word for it, but more and more comfortable at the plate has really kind of started to let you know what sort of player he's capable of becoming. The profile throughout the minors was evident. You know, you don't become the best prospect in baseball basically via consensus on accident, but he has begun to perform now in a way that lets you know he can handle it at the major league level, perhaps. One more for you before we let you go. Before we hit the break, rather, and then Carson Fulmer on the other side. White Sox fans, join us as the White Sox take on the Kansas City Royals Saturday, September 23rd at 6:10. First 20,000 fans will receive an Orgullo Sox soccer-style jersey in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month, presented by Coca-Cola. To purchase specially priced tickets, visit whitesox.com/Orgullo. That's O-R-G-U-L-L-O. We'll be right back. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Now, White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. We're going right up into the pregame show. White Sox and Tigers coming up in just a little bit. Last night's ball game featured Carson Fulmer notching his second consecutive quality start as a member of the White Sox rotation. Carson joins us now on White Sox Weekly. Hi, Carson. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. I know you were in your day after start routine, my man. So I wonder if you can just, so people understand that pitchers are athletes and tremendous ones at that. What's your day after start routine? How much have you put yourself through already?
I would say that it's the most you try to get all your endurance work done on day one. You definitely want to get a good lift in. You want to get a good throwing session in, get some running in, and make sure you do a little power shagging in the outfield as well. So busy day, but it's a time where you kind of reflect on last night's work, and you move on, and you get ready for your next start.
All right. So as you're running your body into the ground and trying to get your shoulder feeling a little bit better, what kind of things did you reflect on about last night's start? What was the top thing in mind that you were kind of running around with in your head?
I felt comfortable. I think that as a pitcher, when you feel comfortable up on the mound, that's the most important thing. Trusting your stuff. I was able to throw a lot of strikes, get ahead with pretty much everything that I have, and was able to have some success. Like I said, every lineup you face in the big leagues, it's going to be great. And, you know, there's going to be a bunch of guys with a lot of experience, but being able to keep things simple and make your pitch when you need to was the most important thing for me.
What kinds of things, talk with Carson Fulmer here on White Sox Weekly, what kinds of things will you look over on that start when it's time to look over that start on video? What kind of stats, I guess, for lack of a better word, do you like to see from your last one? Or is it mostly video work, or is it kind of a combination of the two with Coop?
I would say that one of the most important things is first pitch strikes. We tried to look at getting ahead of hitters. When you get ahead of hitters, you have a lot of success, especially when you look at the numbers. But and being able to execute what you want to do. Sometimes as a pitcher, you know, you may want to throw an outside fastball, but sometimes it may leak over the middle of the plate. And being able just to stay focused and make and execute the pitch you want to make. Like I said, my last four or five outings that I've had, I've been able to execute pitches that I've wanted to do, and I'm really feeling comfortable with throwing anything in any spot. But yeah, like I said, it's it's a process that I'm going to continue to work on and just making sure that I execute the pitch when I need to.
I talked with Kevin Smith about a week, I think, after you came up and threw in the doubleheader. And something that he said he mentioned to you was that your stuff plays up here, that you threw a handful of just filthy, filthy pitches that guys can't handle in the big leagues. And it seems like, I don't know if it was him saying it or a number of people saying it to you or just you saying it to yourself, it seems like that has been said often about your stuff, your arsenal, especially over the last couple of weeks. Does it take seeing it happen to have something click?
Well, first off, I really appreciate him saying that, but there's things that you're going to experience in your career, and that is ups and downs. I've been up, I've been down, I've had a lot of adversity, but having a catcher like Smitty or Omar or Brantley, who's up here that I've thrown to a lot, mm-hmm. In Triple-A, you know, you work with those guys and you try to work as much as you can and go over as many, you know, materials as possible in order to do your homework and get ready for the outing that you have. And, I've been really lucky to be able to go out there and trust my stuff and execute what I want to execute. And the more times that I do that, the more reps that I have and the more control I have over a game, it's going to pay off for my career. And I feel that each time I go out, I feel more comfortable. And I know that, you know, I can come out here and compete and give our team, you know, the best chance to win.
How do you think about your pitch mix? Do you have, in your own head, three fastballs, you know, the cutter, the four-seamer, and the two-seamer? Is it all one that you just change through? I wonder how you approach that start to start with a catcher.
Sometimes you kind of feel on early on when you're warming up what pitch is going to be working for you.
Right.
Luckily for me, I've been able to throw two-seamers into righties and away from lefties, locate my four-seamer pretty much anywhere, especially up in the zone. That's been really effective for me. And my cutter, front door to a righty, away from a righty, into a lefty. You know, really, it's just there's so many different combinations that you can use. And I think that I've started to grasp that a little bit and continue to execute each pitch that I'm throwing. So, I'm not anywhere close to, stopping. I feel like as a baseball player, you're continuing to learn pretty much everything you can. And, I'm going to continue to go out there and learn as much as I can.
We talked in spring training, I don't know if you remember, about pitching up in the zone, and you kind of like doing that, especially with the stuff you have. It makes some sense. Do you think do you like doing that to hitters because you're comfortable doing it, or are you kind of familiar with the high fastball kind of making a return? I mean, there are teams who almost preach it at this point, given what hitters are trying to do and can do to the baseball now. It's become, I don't know, in vogue, I guess.
Yeah, pitching down the zone, obviously it's preached everywhere, but the high fastball, it's coming into play a lot more. I'm not a hitter, but if you talk to a lot of them, that pitch looks juicy. You know, they want to get a good, hack at it, and they're really susceptible of swinging at it. As a pitcher, if it's effective and you can use it, you can continue to climb the ladder, and it also sets up another pitch. It changes eye levels, and you can set up a breaking ball or a cutter somewhere in. But, yeah, like I said, it's a pitch that I'm feeling really comfortable with. I have a good tail up in the zone, so I'm missing a lot of bats, and, I'll definitely continue to use that.
What is your how do you feel about the routine that you've got heading into a start? Guy like Carlos Rodon, who, is unfortunately done for the season, he went through a couple of different, day of start, getting himself ready to roll. Young guy as he is, young guy as you are, I wonder if that's something that you're playing with a little bit and taking some, some liberty with and experimenting with different things, or if you like to stay set for as long as you can until you're kind of forced off and have to change something.
Yeah, everybody's different. Certain things work for certain people. And for me, I always like to throw each and every day. Even today, I long tossed after, throwing 95 pitches last night. I like to throw, but that works for me. It may not work for anybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, each day, Coop is always trying to throw a little, you know, a little something out there for us that, you know, maybe can click for us and may work for our routine. You know, but I think a lot of us have a good idea of what works for us. It's just a matter of getting to the field early and getting it done. Sometimes there's a day or you know, 5 days where you may do something a little different just to kind of lay back a little bit. But for the most part, you know, we, you know, as a rotation and as a pitching staff, we come to the field prepared and you know, we want to get our work done because we know how important it is. So we have a good idea. I have a really good idea of what I need to do to get ready for the next start. And I feel like it's definitely keeping me healthy for the most part.
What kind of sense and what kind of conversation do you have with guys? It's such a unique experience that you have with Reynaldo, with Lucas, with Aaron Bummer, with guys who were at this AAA level for a while this season and now have all kind of graduated together more or less. You guys get a chance to talk about that, reflect on that some, or do you not have to? Do you not have time to do that until perhaps the season's over?
We do it every day. You know, we're creating a family. We're creating a special culture here with a lot of the young guys. We're really familiar with each other, and we hang out each and every day on and off the field. We always try to grab lunch, grab breakfast, whatever we have time for. And once we get to the field, it just doesn't stop. You know, I feel like in order to win and have a successful team is to get to know each other really well and develop that you know, that friendship that is really important to have success. So we enjoy coming to the field. We love spending time with each other. And, you know, we're just looking forward to what the future holds.
Carson, really appreciate it, my man. Thanks so much for coming on. Good work your last handful of starts. And if I'm looking at the schedule right, you'll get Houston your next time around. So I'm sure you're going to start watching a little video of Jose Altuve sooner rather than later, huh?
No, I appreciate it, Connor. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Carson, take care.
Yes, sir.
It's Carson Fulmer, White Sox starter, man who has pumped up two quality starts here. And I got to tell you, too, he mentioned right off the bat, I asked him, in case you just tuned in or missed a little bit, I asked, what kind of things do you look at after your start? Whenever you sit down, you know, with Coop, with Kurt Hassler, and start talking about the things you did in your last start that you're going to want to carry over into the next one. It's a bit of a postmortem, probably not the right word, but, you know, kind of an appraisal of what you did last time out and moving that into the next one. One of the first things he said, if not the first thing, I think, was first pitch strikes. That's something he loves to look at. That's something he needs to have. And I, you know, it makes sense. And at some point, you know, you hate to be, I don't know, pedantic or cliche about these things, but working ahead of hitters is a lot easier than the alternative. I mean, listen, it's all tough up at the big league level, but if you're ahead of a guy, you got a lot better chance to get him out than if you're working behind. I happened to write it down. I looked at it myself before we started. It kind of sounded like Carson hadn't looked over that last start yet. He's got a lot of physical work to do. He'll probably do that tomorrow. That's probably next on the schedule. But in his last start, last night, he was strike one on 15 of 23 hitters. In his start prior to that, 11 of 24. Those are pretty good numbers. It can get better for sure. And for Carson, and I would imagine he knows this as much as anybody else, and he knows he threw 95 pitches last night and went six innings. I would imagine that if you're the competitor that Carson is, if you're at the major league level, you'd rather have those 95 pitches spread out over seven innings. You'd rather be more efficient and you'd – but that's next down the line. You know, that's kind of the next step for all these young players. And I think what's been – you know, aside, we talked a lot about Jose Abreu to start the show, and we'll talk a little bit more about Pito with Nick Schaefer of BP Southside right after the 3:30 news. But I think what's also very exciting about this to me and watching this young team grow is seeing guys have the lessons pop up in games. Seeing a guy like Carson Fulmer come back out for that sixth inning last night when the pitch count's high, when, you know, he'd kind of hadn't made the best pitches to the last two hitters in the fifth, was able to get out of things, and then comes back and goes 1-2-3 through the sixth. You know, knows that he's got to, you know, gather himself together, get it together, and work through the rest of that lineup. I think back to a start Lucas Giolito had against the Twins, right? Bases are loaded. Ricky Renteria comes out, has that chat, wants to see something from him, lets him know that this is it. This is you. You get out of this inning. This is yours. Next pitch is a fly ball deep to left, missed a grand slam by a foot and a half. That's a come-together moment. That's a life flashes before your eyes moment out there on the mound, and Giolito's able to get it together and get the ground ball to short to get out of the inning. It's moments like that. Maybe like Yoan Moncada last night, gets that changeup down and in. And it wasn't a terrible pitch, but that's a pitch that he's missed before, that he's been out in front of before, a changeup like that. Sat back, drilled the thing, sixth home run of the season. It's watching little things like that start to turn in those players' favor, start to see those players succeed in those tough situations that really – you know, it changes the dynamic some, and it changes the long-term evaluation some. And sure, you know, as always, and in a lot of these cases, you're dealing with some small sample sizes, and you're dealing with little pieces of baseball that are at some point going to have to play out over 162 games, and that can be one of the most, you know, grueling and challenging things about the game in itself is its length. But seeing it now and seeing it matter and seeing these, you know, these kids succeed has, and even not, you know, having the lessons happen and having them fail and coming around the next time and still making a shot. I think it's been a lot of fun. I hope you have too, because that is part and parcel of the White Sox future. 312-591-8900 is the phone number. You're going to want to keep that number handy, because when we come back from the break, we're going to give away one of three Tim Raines White Sox starting lineup figurines. I've got three of them. Two of them are in the trunk of the car. I'll go down and get them. The other one's in the studio here. We're giving them away. We'll mail them to you. I'll go down to the UPS. I'll ship them out. No big deal. But if you know any little thing about Tim Raines' career, now's your chance. 312-591-8900. You want to win? You want to get some free stuff? That's your phone number. We'll take a quick break. Line them up. I'm Connor McKnight. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Big John and Ray, now heard weekday mornings 6 till 10 a.m. on WLS AM 890.
All right, here's the fun part on White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. We get to give away some stuff. We got the White Sox and Tigers coming up at 5:10 this evening, which means our pregame show starts at 4:35, about an hour and 10 minutes from now. 3:35, we will talk to Nick Schaefer of BP Southside. We just got off the horn with Carson Fulmer, who threw another quality start for the White Sox last night, two in a row. Nice to see him work. Have a note, too, about White Sox young starters over the last handful of starts. This is from the White Sox. They've tallied these things. They keep track of the numbers. Lucas Giolito, Reynaldo Lopez, and Carson Fulmer have combined to make 8 quality starts over the last 9 outings. Giolito's has 3 in 4 starts. Lopez has 3 in 3 starts. Fulmer, 2 in 2 starts. The three of them have a 2.26 ERA over their last 55 and two-thirds innings pitched. That's, you know, combining everybody. 46 strikeouts, just 6 home runs in those 9 starts. And that has been, I think, pretty fun to watch. All right, let's get our contest rolling, shall we? I have 3, count them, 3 Tim Raines starting lineup figurines. They were the giveaway out at Guaranteed Rate a couple of weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago. And I managed to, by hook or by crook, get a hand on 3 of them. I may or may not have taken one from our program director, Peter Bolger's office. Don't tell him. But we're going to give away that one first, because it just makes me feel good. 312-591-8900. That's the phone number here on the show. You give that a call, and if you know something about Tim Raines' career, I'm going to ask you trivia questions. Wait, I shouldn't be. I'm sorry. We have to begin this contest the way we always begin contests here on White Sox Weekly. Tyler, would you please?
Do you love Yolmer Sanchez?
Sí. Sí.
Mucho.
Mucho.
Nice.
I do love Yolmer Sanchez. That was Yolmer just dropping in on some interview with somebody. I think it was Adam Engel. All right, so here are the rules. If you, the thresholds will change. I'm going to ask you things about Tim Raines' career. Numbers, stats, baseball reference page. Get on those. And if you're close for some of them I'm going to need the exact answer. Some of them, I'll give you a window. If you win, you will get a Tim Raines starting lineup figurine. If you lose, you are out for this round. However, we've got two more to give away. So you can call back, and when we're done giving away the first one, I'll let you know when we're going to do the second one and the third and so on. And you are more than welcome to call back and try and win again. Not a problem. We like to give you stuff. Season's ending. You need stuff to hold you through the offseason of White Sox baseball. So here we go. We will head out to the phone lines now, 312-591-8900. It is David in Prospect Heights. What's up, David?
How you doing, Connor?
How big of a Tim Raines fan would you say you were?
I would say I've followed him all along. You know, I've kept up with him. He was with Montreal for a long time. And, yep, of course, he was with the Sox for a long time. So, you know, I followed him over the time.
Fair enough. All right, here is the first question on Tim Raines.
All right.
Tim was, I think, arguably the second-best leadoff hitter, perhaps, in the modern era. Ricky Henderson probably being number one. That said, Tim's career was at times overlooked because he played contemporarily with Ricky Henderson. So, how many times in Tim Raines' career did he finish in the top 10 of MVP voting?
Oh, boy. Oh.
Give me another couple of seconds here, David.
How about five?
Ooh, not five. Good guess. David, thanks so much. Remember you. Okay, all right. That's a little over the top, fellas.
Oh, boy.
David made a good crack at it. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. You can, David. Don't worry. We're going to give away two more. You are still eligible for those rounds. Let's head down the line here. Bobby in Mount Prospect. What's up, Bobby?
Connor, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, my man. I'm doing well. Same question to you. We'll keep the same board. How many times did Tim Raines finish in the top 10 of MVP voting?
Three times.
There it is. Bobby's a winner. Congratulations. Do you know what rank he finished in those three top five or top 10 finishes?
Oh, my God, Lord. No, not offhand. I'm sorry.
All right.
No.
That's all right. We'll still give you the starting lineup figurine. Don't worry about it, my man. He finished fifth.
Thank you, Connor.
Absolutely. Hang on the line, Bobby. Hang on the line. We'll give your information to Tyler. Make sure I get it, and then I'll head down to the UPS office, ship it over to you. You're going to get the one from Peter Bulger's office, too. Collectible. In 1983, Tim Raines finished fifth in the MVP voting. In 1986, he finished sixth in the MVP voting. And in 87, he finished seventh. For our next question, we'll do it probably about 3:45, I think. Yeah, 3:45. I've already gone way over the break. But we'll probably do it about 3:45, so you can call back in then. We have a guest coming up at 3:35. If you are a Kanye West fan, that may help you in our next question. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.